Hi, welcome to Good News Radio. Arthur Mao watched closely as his mother placed the money in the cup. Arthur and his seven brothers and sisters all called it God's cup. Mother did this every week after father brought home his pay envelope. They explained to the children that money placed in the special place was 1/10 of all the money father earned at his job. This money was set aside to be used only for God's work. Every Sunday morning, the eight Mao children formed a line. Each was given money from God's cup for his Sunday school and church offering. There was always enough for everyone to give. And although the family was poor, this money was never used for food or clothing, but they always had what they needed.
Now children, I want you to listen to me. We'll always have what we need as long as we put God first in our lives.
He often reminded them of a verse from the Bible that says,
"But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you."
When Arthur was 8 years old, he began to earn money himself. He had already believed in Jesus as his Savior, and Arthur thought that he should give part of his money to God too. He knew the Bible verse that says, "God loves a cheerful giver," and Arthur did give cheerfully. He loved to give. First, he gave a penny from the first dime he earned, then he gave a dime from his first dollar. He was so excited to give a whole dollar when he had earned $10. But soon, 1/10 of the money he earned seemed like too little, so Arthur often gave extra amounts just because he loved Jesus so much. Not only did he learn about giving money to God, but Arthur also heard his parents talk about giving something else to God, your life for him to use. He heard his parents pray,
"Lord, make a missionary out of some of our children."
As Arthur listened, he wanted to cry out,
"Stop! I know God answers your prayers. I don't want to be a missionary. I'm scared."
Arthur had dreamed about what he would be when he grew up. He wanted to earn lots of money and be a rich man. But one day at Arthur's high school, something happened that changed his life.
Heard of this confrontation.
A preacher came to speak for a special assembly. He told the students of many experiences from the life of David Livingstone, one of the first missionaries to Africa. Arthur listened excitedly. He wanted to know why Livingstone had gone to such a place. All Arthur could think about was how the people there didn't live in a way that pleased God.
The enemy was defeated.
He decided he needed to know more about Livingstone and what he did, but the speaker didn't stay.
"How can I learn more about David Livingstone? Oh, books. I'll go to the library after school and see if there are any books there about him."
Arthur chose three books, hurried home, and eagerly read every line. He began to think more about the people who had never heard that God loves them or that Jesus had died for their sins. He kept thinking,
"How could they hear without a preacher?"
One day, as Arthur was riding in his car, it seemed like God was asking him if he was willing to be a missionary. Because Arthur had already chosen to live his life to please and serve God, his answer was yes. He was not afraid anymore like he had been as a child. Now he was excited. God was going to use him to tell people that God loved them and that he had made a way for them to know him.
"I want to go right away."
But he needed training. A few weeks later, he enrolled in Bible school. He studied hard to prepare to be a missionary. After several years of training, he was finally ready to go. Soon, he was on a ship sailing to West Borneo, Indonesia.
"Telling the people about God's love for them is so much more exciting than I thought it would be. They want to know so much about God who loves them."
In his first 4 years with the Dayak people, more than 2,000 people chose to believe in Jesus as their Savior from sin. They turned away from the sinful ways they lived. They no longer lied, cheated, and murdered. Now they showed love to each other. They wanted to please God. Arthur often made the trip from his home to the rubber tree grove to preach to the people. The jungle was hot and the tall grasses along the path whipped against his face. He knew there would be hundreds of Dayak who had believed in Jesus waiting for him under the shade of big trees. Arthur began to realize that the Dayaks were depending too much on him. He felt God wanted him to teach the Dayaks how to live and how to give so that they could teach their own people about Jesus. When he arrived at the rubber tree grove, he tried to teach the Dayaks to trust God and not him.
"The day may come when I'm not allowed to stand here before you as I do now. When I'm gone, who will you depend on?"
The Dayaks listened thoughtfully. Later, Arthur called his two national helpers aside. Both of them had taken special training and had come to Borneo to serve with him. He told them,
"God's word tells us that we are to give back to God. I believe God wants you to teach this to the Dayaks who believed in Jesus."
"It's impossible to teach the Dayaks to give. They're just too poor."
Arthur knew the people were poor, so poor they could probably put all of their belongings in a 5-gallon bucket. They did not have money. Everyone was looking for work. Their clothes were made of bark, and their little boys and girls had no clothes at all.
Yes, they are poor, but the words "too poor" are not in the Bible. God says we are to give.
The Dyaks now go hungry 4 to 6 months out of the year. How can we ask them to give and make them hungrier than they are? If you believe it, Arthur, you must be the one to teach it to them. We cannot take away food from these hungry people.
God has promised in His Word to bless if people give to Him. The Dyaks do not know how to read or write. They can only learn to give to God through us.
Arthur went from village to village, visiting the meetings of the Dyaks. He held his Bible high and said,
"Everything I have taught you is from this book. From it you have learned how the world was made. From it you have learned how sin came into the world. Best of all, you have learned how much God loves you and that He sent His Son to die for your sin. You have learned that Jesus died and rose again for you. Do you believe this book is true? Although you cannot read this book, do you think it is lied to you?"
"Never a lie, only the truth."
"Now I will teach you something new."
The Dyak people really loved the Lord Jesus, who had forgiven them for all the wrong things they had done. They were eager to learn more about God's book, the Bible. They listened without saying a word as Arthur talked to them about giving to God.
"This is what the book says. We are to give back to God of what He has given to us. God's word promises you everything you need."
The missionary told the Dyaks that God blesses those who give back to God and might cause their crops to be better, or He might not. But God would provide for their needs, and He would bless them with things even more important, things that last forever. Suddenly, Arthur could say no more. He so badly wanted the people to understand how important it is to give and how giving brings blessings. He looked at the people and realized how poor they were. He thought,
"Surely these people don't understand. I have failed."
Arthur hung his head. He was very discouraged. His two helpers were nearby, but they didn't say a word. The Dyaks began to talk among themselves. For half an hour, they discussed what the missionaries had told them. Then they became very quiet, waiting for the missionary to speak. Finally, Arthur said,
"What do you think of the message from God's word? What do you think of His plan for giving?"
"We have decided to accept this plan. God has done so much for us, and we have been wondering how we could show Him how thankful we are. This is how we can do that. We have chosen 3 men whom we know to be honorable. They will accept our gifts and bring them to your house every new moon."
The missionary's heart was so thankful God used His word to show the Dyaks how to give to Him. Arthur went to other villages, everywhere the Dyak Christians wanted to give to God. Arthur returned to his home. Soon the new moon arrived, and so did the Dyaks. Some had traveled for 2 days. They tied chickens to the porch railings of the missionary's house. There was a big pile of cucumbers, many eggs in a basket, and several bags full of rice.
"This is for God. We trust He'll take care of us."
Arthur's heart was filled with joy. Tears came to his eyes as he thought of these people and their love for the Savior. Each month, the Dyaks came with gifts for God. He didn't use the gifts for himself. He sold the chickens, eggs, and other gifts. With the money, he bought nails, and the Dyaks began to build churches. They would have their own places to worship God. Can you guess what happened when their crops grew? The Dyaks had more rice than ever before. The insects had not bothered the crops as in other years. The Dyaks were not surprised, though, because they believed the Bible. They knew God promised to take care of them. They continued giving. One day, Arthur had a great surprise at church. The Dyaks, who had never had clothes except for those made of bark, came dressed in comfortable clothes. When they had taken their extra rice to the store to sell, the merchant had told them,
"Why don't you buy cloth and have comfortable clothes?"
The Dyaks had wanted better clothes, but hadn't had any money to buy them before. They were so happy now. God had taken care of another need. Soon the first church building was completed. Outside the church by the path was a big crate. As the people came, they pulled at the latch with one hand and put a chicken into the crate with the other. At the top of the steps was a large box with a small hole in the top. They poured rice into the box as a gift to God. Boys and girls brought gifts too. Mothers lifted the children up so they could put their own gift of rice into the box. Close by was a basket where the Dyaks placed eggs and a jar for the few coins some of them wanted to give. As the people gave generously from what they had to God, they became concerned about other people who had not yet heard of Jesus. They decided to use their gifts to send some of their people to go and tell others about Jesus. God used their willingness to give to help even more people learn about Jesus and his great love for them. The Dyaks found joy in bringing gifts to God and watching him use them so others could hear about Jesus, who came to save them from sin. Jesus came to save you from your sin too. Sin is choosing to do things your own way instead of God's way. Maybe you've disobeyed your parents, told a lie, or even thought mean things about someone else. Your sin separates you from God forever. But God loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus, who never sinned, to die on a cross. But 3 days later, Jesus came back to life, and he is alive in heaven today. Jesus made a way for you to have your sins forgiven and have a friendship with God. The Bible says, whoever believes in him may have eternal life. If you trust that Jesus died and came back to life to save you from being separated from God, this verse says you will have eternal life. That is life forever with God. It means you will no longer be separated from God, and you will have a friendship with him that will last forever. Will you believe in Jesus to have eternal life today? Maybe as you are listening to the story, you believed for the first time. You can tell God the things you believe about what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross and came back to life. If you would like to believe in Jesus to save you from sin, you can do that right now. God will hear you no matter where you are. You can trust that if you truly believe in Jesus as your Savior, you will have eternal life. Thanks for listening. Come back next week to learn about how we can be thankful no matter what is happening.